Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're here. I'll tell you what, I am so proud of Matt, my producer, Matt Lynch. We just got into a physics slash mathematical
class,
but I got to tell you, I still think that I'm right and he still thinks he's right, but it would be a great question in a math class, or it would be a great question in a logic class. But I'm not going to talk about it because we've been talking about it for 10 minutes. We talked about it so long, Matthew, and correct me, that we almost forgot we had the show started.
Yeah, let's put it out as a simple question.
Let's do that and have somebody
to our Facebook. All right.
You do it.
All right.
So listen to this very carefully, everybody. This is really good stuff, especially if you're a kid and you like math. Go.
All right, we'll just put it out in its simplest form. Does the pick taken away from Pittsburgh cost someone, like a potential player, a spot on an NFL roster in the draft?
Yeah, as in either the supplemental or the regular draft. That was the point. Yeah. Matt was saying that guy's automatically going to get drafted. I'm saying no, because there's still one kid that isn't going to be on the regular draft list or the supplemental list, because he's going to be the one guy that got pushed out. Now, don't get me wrong. He'll sign as a free agent anyway. That kid's fine. Wouldn't you agree? He's fine.
I think he's
because they sign 10, 15, 20 free agents every team anyway. And if he's good enough to play, he'll play. But yeah, Matt thinks that he just becomes a draft choice.
No. My point is that they take it away, but it's right. Given away to another team later on in the rounds.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about it later. But listen, please.
So go to facebook.com/Bruce Hall Sports or just look up Bruce Hall Sports on Facebook and join the conversation about that. See, and if you have any details or links, send them our way, just because we're lazy.
And better
yet, we're too stubborn to actually look it up specifically.
Well, look, if you're on the East Coast, weather's going to get kind of crazy later today. When I left my house in Reston, Virginia, earlier today, there were snowflakes, very few. And I was a little worried when I went to sleep last night. I actually went to bed early, so I'd get up early. That didn't happen. I got up at regular time, 6 a.m., did my 2 hours of work, and got in the car. Made sure I knew how to use the four-wheel drive on my new truck, which is not a new truck. It's a 90,000-mile 2010 Yukon that I happen to not like as much as my old truck, which I was offered from CarMax all of $1,000 for 7 days. I told them to take their $1,000 and shove it where the sun doesn't shine. That the mere drive in a Suburban with 285,000 miles on it, going 90 miles an hour on Interstate 95, is like flying a small airplane. And that, you know, the drive itself is worth $2,500 to $3,000. So I put it on Craigslist. If you want my Suburban for your kid, and it will get another 250,000 miles. Transmission's perfect. It's never even had to be worked on. And I, you know, like I said, it's all road mileage. But anyway, Matthew.
Yes.
Auburn. Oh my God. Missouri yesterday. I'm talking about Auburn-Missouri game yesterday.
All I know about is that Ohio
you don't need game. To talk sports. Let me just say yes, Bruce. But the Auburn-Missouri game, you didn't watch it. I know you didn't.
No.
But the Auburn-Missouri game.
My daughter's birthday.
Auburn just made it to the BCS championship game yesterday by beating up on Missouri and literally being unstoppable. They rushed for almost, you know, between 560 and 600 yards, and they could have done a lot better. I thought that it was going to take 60 points to win the game pretty early in the game. I was wrong. It was 59. Matter of fact, the last tweet I sent out in the fourth quarter said 70 was going to do it, but then all of a sudden, even Auburn started running out of gas. Got to say this. Their head coach is one of the best coaches I've ever seen. His demeanor is great. His kids believe in him. And whoever's recruiting those kids that run 4.3 40s, and as soon as they break into the open, nobody can catch them on the field. You don't want to lose those recruiting coaches. So you're going to need to pay them, Auburn. And pay them with salary. Don't pay them under the table. Don't get your boosters to pay them. Don't get in trouble. Bo Jackson was, if you had watched the game yesterday, Bo Jackson was on the sideline for Auburn. And, you know, he's not supposed to be down near the goal line or the 5-yard line or the 10. As a matter of fact, I think you're supposed to stay inside the 25s in college and in high school. But who's going to tell Bo Jackson that he can't be there? And I was wondering why he was on his knees a lot. And then I started remembering that Bo's not a spring chicken anymore, and he's got an artificial hip. And he's also got knees that are probably giving him trouble. And I got to tell you, I can't stand up for 7-8 hours anymore. So he was just on his knees because it was more comfortable and he was excited. And that would have been a great thing to say if they asked him to move. Go, I can't move, man. I need a...
Do you not remember the 90s?
I need a golf cart. Anyway, I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. We are going to have a great show today. I don't say that very often. Not that we don't have great shows, but my shows kind of happen spontaneously. It's kind of like, you know, another dimension when you're on the radio. At least when I'm on the radio, it's like another dimension. Especially when I say a bad word, then they hit the... That's happened 3 times in 4 years, so I haven't said a bad word. I say the word freaking a lot. I don't even say effing. Because I think that's kind of nasty.
Well, you just did.
Well, but that you can say that on the radio. Let's
not have a conversation about what you can't say on the radio, because I don't trust you.
That was a George Carlin skit a long time ago, 30 years ago.
Case.
Yes, it was. The 7 words you can't say, and I'm not going to say any of them because I think they're still, you're not allowed to say them. Actually, I think you could say like 4 of them now, but I don't want...
Yeah, it's only like
let's not go
left.
Over it. Hey, we're going to have, last week, a young lady, I don't know how young she is, 38 or whatever, ended up getting so upset and drunk, obviously. I think alcohol played a... And I don't know if it did or not, but I'm assuming alcohol had something to do with it because it was at the end of a Alabama-Auburn party.
Well, if it's Alabama, it may
let me finish. Let me finish while I'm doing this. Then. Okay. It doesn't matter. In the state of Alabama, you're either an Auburn fan or an Alabama fan. There is no right or wrong. I mean, there is no A. There's no middle ground. It doesn't even matter. In the same household, you can have a kid that goes to Alabama and a kid that goes to Auburn. That's not good. Husband wives, that's not good. But this is one of the biggest rivalries in the history of football. And my good buddy, Ron Middleton, who is a great coach in the NFL. He's with the Jacksonville Jaguars, and he's a tight ends coach, assistant special teams coach for the Jaguars, who, by the way, are much better than the Washington Redskins now. They have won 4 out of their last 5 games. I love their head coach. He was the defensive coordinator in Seattle. And, oh, by the way, have you noticed Seattle has the best defense? So this guy is going to be one of the best coaches. He's very young. And Ron's his tight end coach. But Ron was an Auburn tight end. Played with Bo Jackson. Great friends with Charles Barkley. I've met all these people because of Ron. And Ron's a good friend of mine. And we're going to have Ron on the show next week. He doesn't know it yet, but I'm going to make him come on the show next week. Although I don't want to jinx him. But anyway, Ron, when Nick Saban got the call and went back to college football 4 years ago, he at the University of Alabama, the first call that he made was David Cutcliffe, who was the head coach at the University of Mississippi. And Cut had just left Ole Miss and was in between jobs. As a matter of fact, he was getting ready to take on the Duke job, and he was ACC Coach of the Year this week. But Ron ended up getting recruited to be a coach by Nick Saban, and Ron was an Auburn guy. So he ended up having to work for Saban for 1 full year. That's all he wanted to do. I mean, it was all he could take, I imagine. Because Saban's pretty tough to work for. Anyway, we'll talk more about that in a minute. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute on AM 1230 News Talk 1230 and Bruce Hall's Second Opinion in a minute.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BH Sports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Don't turn the dial. We're going to have a great show. Sean Salisbury's coming on in a little while. He's going to give us his take on all of that football. If you follow Sean at Sean, S-E-A-N, Unfiltered, U-N-F-I-L-T-E-R-E-D, you can, Sean's great. Sean gets back to everybody. Sean is worse than me in a good way. He's a freak on the Twitter. I'm kind of freaky myself. I got a lot of tweets. You know, the greatest thing about Twitter is you get all the information right away. Now, I'm going to tell you, you get a lot of people's thoughts on stuff, and you get a lot of people who tell you how they feel stuff is going. The only thing you have to worry about with Twitter is getting bad information. So you got to be careful with that. You can't, you know, like when people die, for one thing, you don't want to be the first guy on there that says a guy is dead and he's not dead yet. That's happened. You want to make sure. And if you wait till ESPN says something about it, you're like a day late and a dollar short. So you got to be somewhere in between there.
It doesn't really matter if you know the moment he's dead.
Well, if you're there, like we said, like the French say, holding a candle, then, you know, everything's great. The thing, the key, why I like Twitter and why everybody who follows me at Bruce Hall Sports on Twitter, what they like about me is I retweet only the best stuff. I retweet NFL, NCAA, football, true life stuff literally when I get it. You know, working out of an office in my home, you know, not coaching wrestling for the first time in 7 years. And it was a little tough yesterday because we had our Nova Classic in Northern Virginia. And, you know, you can go to trackwrestling.com, T-R-A-C-K wrestling.com. And I know in New York, wrestling's still big, so everybody understands what I'm talking about. And you can find any tournament anywhere and get pretty much up to 15 to 20-minute results on all the biggest tournaments in the country, whether they're NCAA Division I, II, III, NAIA, junior college wrestling, or high school wrestling. And that, to me, that's very important. We're waiting on Roy to call us. I sent him a text not long ago.
He's probably drunk again.
No, he's actually working.
He's passed out.
No, he's working the event at MCI Center, which is a small little basketball get-together. Pretty sure GW's in it. Not sure who else is in it, but I really wanted Roy to tell you that. He got a great interview with the head coach at GW University yesterday. And GW, guy's a former assistant coach with Gary Williams. All of Gary's assistants went out and became pretty good head coaches. And, you know, Gary's retired and enjoying his life as a married man, and he's probably playing golf every day and throwing clubs like he always does. But and I can't say that for sure. I've never played with Gary. I've just heard stories about Gary. You listen to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm Bruce. We're going to have at the half hour, we're going to have Nick Durzis on the show. He's the chief of police in Hoover, Alabama, who is investigating and a week ago had to arrest a woman for an alleged murder of another woman at a party. And the reasoning behind it, I'm going to let him discuss it, but what we read on Twitter and what we read, you know, on Facebook and everywhere was this woman wasn't upset enough that Alabama had lost, so this woman shot her. Well, it had to be a little bit more than that. A, there had to be some alcohol or drugs involved, and B, there must have been a man involved. That's all I'm saying. But Nick is going to clear that up. Nick and I actually grew up together. We used to play Sandlot football every day. I mean, believe it or not, kids, and when I say kids, I mean anybody under 50, okay? We only had four stations on the TV. You know, every Sunday morning we got to watch Notre Dame football with Lindsey Nelson, which was phenomenal because it was always, that's why everybody loved Notre Dame. The Catholics, man, they, those people have got it together. They had everybody rooting for Notre Dame back in the 60s and 70s and 80s and not so much anymore. But, and I shouldn't say that because there are, you know, Matthew, you're Catholic, aren't you?
My family's Catholic.
That's right. That's right. I apologize. I forgot. Okay. So anyway.
16 weeks of the year that you know the sermon's going to end on
time. Are you
time.
Sure Roy isn't on
I'm
hold?
Sure.
Jeez. Well, you know what? Then I'm going to start talking football, and I'm going to tell you why, because Nick Durzis is coming on at the turn. He'll be on at 10:34, 10:35. So if you want to hear all the best Auburn, Alabama stories from a chief of police, are you kidding me? How many stories you think he's got about Auburn, Alabama arrests? Thousands, probably. But
I want to know about if he has just that one guy that he knows is like, oh man, Larry is going to be out again.
Yeah.
He's going to be drunk, and he's probably not going to have pants on again. He's going to be on Main
Street.
Well,
Hoover, Alabama is, I'm pretty sure, like just outside Birmingham. It's like, you know, Arlington is to Washington, D.C. or something. I don't know. But that's how close he is. Mm-hmm. I've called all of his good friends and asked him to listen on. His brother Pete works for ESPN Radio. He's a great guy. I don't even know if he works for ESPN Radio. He works for an affiliate of ESPN. Pete was one of these guys, Nick's brother. This is one of these guys that knew everything about sports. I mean everything. I thought I knew a lot about sports until I saw Pete, you know, on the weekend when we were playing football and stuff. All we did was talk sports. He ended up being an assistant AD, I think, at University of Alabama, Birmingham, and then eventually went to work for ESPN. And hopefully he'll be listening too. And one day we'll have to have Pete on because he knows. I mean, you know, even though he's with the four-letter company, we may have him on it either, anyway, if they allow it.
I'm sure he.
Pete may big league me. He may just go, Bruce Hall's second opinion. You're on in New York. Forget it. You know, you're on iHeartRadio and everybody listens to you across the country. Doesn't matter.
Do you know who I am?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. But hey, give us a call. Listen, if you've got a story.
Especially if your name is Roy Edwards.
Yeah, if your name's Roy Edwards, will you look at your daggone phone and give us a call? I mean, hopefully he's getting an interview. Maybe he's getting an interview with somebody that people in New York would like be interested in, as opposed to a GW University guy. Just kidding, Roy. But Roy should be calling in. We're going to have Sean call in next hour, I think. Yeah, he's calling in, yeah, right about 11:05. And Nick's calling in at 10:30-something. And, of course, Tony Mazur. Now, Tony's not coming on at the end of the show. He's coming on at 11:30 Eastern time. Central, that would be 10:30 for all of you people who went to Ohio State University. I'm just kidding.
Awesome.
Hey, I got to tell you something. I was looking for every. I'm a green guy anyway. I went to Wakefield High School in Arlington, Virginia, and our colors were green and white. And I was wearing green last night because I don't know why, but I hate Ohio State's everything about them except their wrestling team. I like their
wrestling. That low in this house.
And you know, I know your wife. Yeah. Your wife. And listen, let me tell you what else I hate. I really hate Urban Meyer. Do you think he's going to have a doctor recommend that he give up coaching now that he completely blew this whole deal? Yeah, I don't know, but that's what a lot of people think on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter, at Bruce Hall Sports, please. And you can go to my website anytime you're, like, not in your car and listen to the show on brucehallsports.com. You can even, if you're, like, in church or if you're doing something on a Sunday morning between 10 and noon, which is highly likely, you know, if you do those kind of things, you can always, we archive our shows. So you can go in the afternoon and listen to the show. And listen, you can call, are you ready for this? Write this number down, 1-800-466-4748. That's 1-800-466-4748. I'll tell you an easy way to remember that number. It's Who Is It? HOOISIT. I got that from my wife. She's a Virginia alum. But anyway, I'm going to start talking some football right now as soon as I can find it. You know, the Cincinnati Bengals, in their own way this year, are having maybe the best year they've had in a long, long time. Now,
that's not saying much.
Yeah, but listen to me. But you're too young to remember this. When my son, Davis, was conceived, yes, Davis, you were conceived, In Miami, Florida, and listen to this, 1988, it was at the Super Bowl. And I took my wife to the Super Bowl. Now, don't laugh.
I'm laughing because
this is the only Super Bowl my wife and I have been to. Because after she got pregnant, she swore off Super Bowls.
Somewhere in Virginia, two radios just turned off.
Yeah, well, Carol's not listening anyway. She's at yoga. I guarantee you she's at yoga this morning. Depends on how she felt when she woke up. But I guarantee you she's at yoga because...
I think that's your son saying, Dad, shut up.
Yeah, that's my son or my wife calling, telling me to shut up. But I got to tell you, the Bengals, that was Boomer Esiason. That was Icky Woods. That was Icky Woods.
And the University of Maryland. Boomer Esiason.
Yeah, and the Icky Shuffle. I know Boomer very well. Boomer, I met Boomer and became slightly close to him when Stan Gelbaugh, who was also a University of Maryland quarterback, went to the World League of American Football and was the MVP of the London Monarchs. Now, Stan, you may say that, no, it wasn't just you, but I took Stan to the Super Bowl that year. And that was, I'm sorry, the year after that. I took Stan to the Super Bowl when it was when Buffalo played the New York Giants in Tampa, and that was Scott Norwood's miss right when they lost the game. And the next year, Boomer Esiason, who was not out of football, but he was doing, you know, he was doing, because the World League of American Football played in the spring.
Yes.
So the great thing about that was, you know, they used NFL guys, and it was ABC that had the contract.
Yeah, World of Sport.
It was, yeah, it was. It was, they had the contract, and I got to tell you, that was some damn good football.
I used to love that.
How do you? You were like a teenager. You were like 15 or 12 when that happened. Because yeah, that was like that was like early 90, 91, 92.
Yeah.
They only had one great year. The MVP of the league that season, and that's the only season I remember the league, was Stan Gelbaugh. Now, let me tell you what Stan did. Stan, you know, springboarded himself from that gig with the London Monarchs and being on TV every Saturday all afternoon. You know who else was on that? Judd Garrett was on that team. Jason Garrett. Everybody loves Jason Garrett, especially Jerry Jones. He's the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. His little brother, Judd, who was a damn good football player, but he was like 5'11", 180 pounds. He was a running back on that team, and he was just phenomenal. He could catch balls out of the backfield. These guys, Larry Kennan was their offensive coordinator. Now, Larry Kennan, if I'm not mistaken, is the head of the NFL Football Coaches Association. At least he was for a while. Larry ended up getting the offensive coordinator's job for the Seattle Seahawks. And you got to remember, this is like when Jim Zorn was there and all this stuff. And he ended up getting that job and did a good job. And he brought Stan to the Seahawks. And Stan was like a third string quarterback, but he's making, you know, whatever, $250,000 a year, carrying a clipboard, you know, going to camp, having fun. And then Stan ended up sooner or later getting traded, I think, to the Arizona Cardinals. And he played two or three years with the Arizona Cardinals. And I got to tell you, Stan, I'm proud of you, buddy. If you're listening to the show, which you're not, you know, because you've pretty much big leagued me since then. But I was the guy that when you walked into my office that I was borrowing at the time, I said to you, what are you doing selling Savin copiers? You need to be playing football. And really, for the next 7 or 8 years, he played football. I'm Bruce Hall. That's the truth. And you're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS.
I love that we just went from picking a game.
I'm Tangent Tom. Listen, let me tell you something.
But I do remember Cincinnati being good.
And
I used to DJ in front of Boomer Esiason's jersey at RJ Bentley's in College Park.
Now, let me tell you, I've been in Bentley's when I drank.
Yeah, same here.
You know what? I've been in Bentley's when I drank, and one night in Chapel Hill, this is one of the reasons I quit drinking. Chapel Hill. One night in College Park. Jesus, I get all of those ACC towns mixed up. But one night in College Park, I got so drunk in Bentley's, I got lost walking back where I was supposed to be going. And I walked around all night long in a pair of Weejuns and shorts.
You may have passed by my house.
Listen, I had blisters. My blisters had blisters the next day. And when we come back, we should have somebody.
Maybe we'll pick the game.
Hey, you know what? Maybe we'll pick a game when we come back. This is what's good. Matt, you're learning sports a little bit. I love that for you. And I love the fact that you just let me go on and on and on. But we'll be back in a minute on AM 1230 WFAS.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. Well, Roy got back to me. It was a little late. Roy's going to call in at 11:45, and he's going to give you his picks. I'm going to give you, I will have given you quite a few picks by then. Sean will have given you some picks, but Roy's going to give you his in case you care. You know, he's actually having a decent year. I mean, you know, just the mere fact that he's not under 500 somewhere is good. Because I'm pretty sure I'm under 500 almost right now. If you go to NH Bowl, that stands for NationalHandicappersBowl.com, you'll find my numbers on NHBowl.com. My totals are still over 500. My straight plays last week, I got hammered. And I'm not talking about drinking because I don't drink. But I got to tell you, it was a tough week. Now, we should be getting Nick Derzis. We'll be calling in any minute. He should be. And we're going to be talking about Auburn-Alabama football. And that's going to be fun. The Colts-Bengals is who I want to talk about right now. I tell you what, who I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about something that everybody could care less about talking about. You know what I'm sick of, Matthew? I'm sick of RG3. Robert Griffin III, as far as I'm concerned, if I don't hear one more word out of his mouth the rest of the year, I'll be perfectly all right with it.
I don't understand the hatred for him.
I'm tired of it.
I think he's a figurehead of our hatred for the entire team, as a whole.
No, I'm going to tell you what the problem is. The problem is the owner of this team befriended him in the offseason. And made it.
Makes sense,
well, yeah. No, he does it all the time. Yeah. He did it with Clinton Portis, and nobody could tell Clinton Portis to do anything
yeah.
either. Remember that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was horrible.
I don't want to practice.
Daniel Snyder is more than an owner. He's a butt boy. Okay. He's got a lot of butt boys that work for him.
Basically, he wants to hire friends.
Well,
he can't make them on his own.
Well, you know what? He pays for friends.
Yeah.
And we all know people like that. We all know people like that. I think we have a caller.
A minute. Hold on.
Matt's looking really great at this thing. We got a caller. Nick, is this you, buddy?
It is me.
Nick Derzis. Nick, thank you for calling in. This is going to be fun. Nick and I grew up together. And I really, you know, you don't have to accept that or not. But Nick was like one of my best buddies that I used to play football with every day. The kids today have no idea what we used to do, do they, Nick?
Not at all. Well, we didn't have all the games and things that kids have today to play, that's for sure.
I can't get my son. My son just turned 24, and he'll spend half the day when he's not working, he's not at work, playing video games. And the only thing I appreciate is the fact that now he's into fantasy football. And guess what he cares about that I know? He always asks me who should he start because he knows I know who to start. So, you know, at least he's talking to me now. And that's the good thing. Nick, you are the police chief in Hoover, Alabama. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And you've been the police chief there for a while. How many years have you been there?
Well, I've been here for, I was a police officer for 30 years here, and I've been the chief for the past 9 years.
You've done good, Nick.
I had to put my alarm on yourself,
you've man. Done good. Now, you went to Samford University down in Alabama, correct?
That is correct.
And you majored in criminal justice, which is what my son majored in, and sociology. He got into that a little bit too. So you went the direction you wanted to go. And I just want to thank you for everything. I did find out, though, by looking at a couple of things, that you guys are evidently giving away way too many speeding tickets in Hoover. If I'm the mayor, I want to take you to lunch every day. Nobody likes to get caught in a speed trap. And as far as I'm concerned, they need to slow it the hell down. Correct?
I would agree. We had a fatality this morning, actually, with a one car accident coming off the interstate. So,
I'm sorry to hear that. Anytime there's a fatality, it's not good. Right. Did you guys get the weather that we're kind of looking at right now? That's just starting to hit the DC area, or is it? Did you get any sleet at all?
No sleet, but it was down in the low 40s this morning. We've got rain for the next couple of days, so we've been. We haven't really. It was 75 degrees 2 days ago, so we've had the heat, rain, and now we're supposed to get colder the next couple of days.
Now, listen, I could talk to you for 2 hours, but the people on the show probably want to hear the good stuff, and it's not good anytime somebody loses their life. But a week ago, sometime after the Auburn Alabama game was over, I expect it was right after the game was over. A woman allegedly shot another woman, and this one woman died. Is that correct?
That is correct. We got the call right about 7 p.m. Central, so literally the game probably hadn't been over 15 or 20 minutes. And from all indications, it appeared that there were both Alabama fans. And after the ball game was over, one of the girls had been talking to the other one. They didn't know each other, and they kind of got into a little verbal altercation. And then we believe that the shooter goes out to her car, retrieves a small caliber weapon, puts it in a pocket, and then comes back inside the apartment where the altercation verbal continued. They ended up taking it to the parking lot, and one of them tackled the other. They're on the ground. And the girl ends up pulling that gun out and shooting this other girl, and again died at the scene, shot her in the chest. So, you know, and it's just a shame. There are about 15 witnesses that are sitting there watching the football game. The game's over. Some people are leaving, and these girls in an altercation and end up killing somebody. So it's really outrageous.
Now I don't want to be out of line at all. You know, asking the wrong question. If I ask the wrong question, just tell me you can't talk about it. But was this gun registered to this woman?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, all right. So this woman was able, at least this woman was, she was able to buy a gun, but it was in her car. Was it a small caliber or a weapon? Something that would fit in her pocket?
Exactly.
Well, that's terrible. That's absolutely horrible. Yeah. Well, you know, it was one hell of a game. There's no question. And down in the state of Alabama where you live and where you've lived for a long time. And, you know, it's funny, you know, Dave Shaler lived in Alabama for a long time, worked for a man in Dothan. Dave Shaler, for those of you that don't know who he is, was Nick's next door neighbor when he grew up. He was my best man in my first wedding and still one of my best friends. That's how close Nick and I are. Although I haven't seen you in a while, but I know I'd recognize you. You probably look exactly the same. And Pete probably looks exactly the same, your brother. They're like Tom and they're like Mutt and Jeff. Nick was a big, strong guy. Pete's this little fast-talking, smart guy. You both went to Washington Lee High School in Arlington, Virginia, right?
That is correct.
And that is also where Sandra Bullock went to school. And I know that's correct because since she followed me to East Carolina University, and I couldn't get rid of her. She stayed there for like a year, year and a half. Then she left. And I'm just kidding, of course. But I did meet Sandy Bullock. That was what people called her. And she was a cheerleader at WNL, I want to say in like 81, 82. So
yeah,
she's
After we were there, yeah.
Yeah, now we had some good-looking girls that went to school. Now let's get back to this football thing. Auburn, Alabama, do you think, Nick, that there is a bigger rivalry anywhere in sports than that? Because people in the same family don't talk to each other, correct, because of this standoff?
That is correct. I mean, the fans in the state of Alabama, obviously very passionate. Of course, Alabama, when you look at the SEC, of course, Alabama back-to-back national championships, 3 out of 4, and then Auburn was with Cam Newton back in, I think it was 10. So, yeah, passionate football here forever. Not unusual for us to get some fights because you put a football game together, throw in a little bit of alcohol, and usually all hell breaks loose. But, the story to talk about, too, was in 2010 when a guy – calls the Paul Feinbaum show, who's a nationally syndicated guy, and says that on the radio that he has poisoned the trees at Toomer's Corner. And for the people out there that don't know what Toomer's Corner is, at Auburn University, they had these old oak trees, historic oak trees. And after an Auburn win, either home or away, people go down to that corner and they get toilet paper and they roll those trees. Well, this Alabama fan calls the Feinbaum show and says, "I've poisoned the oaks." Well, of course, with technology today, the police were able to find out who this caller was. And darn if he didn't end up poisoning the oaks. It was a case that went on for 3 years. Actually, he pled guilty this past March, and they ended up having to dig up all these old trees and had to plant new stuff because of the rivalry. I mean, it can't get any stupider than that.
You know, I got to tell you, the worst I ever got my butt whipped ever by my father, who died when I was 10, but he was a great guy, and he never raised a hand to me. But one time, I took a butter knife to a maple tree that was a sapling and literally shaved all of the bark off of it. And I've never been hit that hard that many times by my dad ever. And it was because I killed a living thing. And you know what? I hug my tree in my front yard, Nick. Trees are great. I mean, you can almost feel it when they, you know, when you're around them. I mean, if you believe in the universe and if you believe in a lot of stuff, trees are good. Did this guy do any time at all, this idiot who did that?
Well, he's, like I said, this was back in March. He pled guilty, and he is going to do time. I'm not sure if he's actually done it yet or not, but it was a Class C felony. So being a felony, he will do more than a year in jail. But I think there's also obviously some compensation that he's got to give back to the university. But, I mean, just really a foolish thing to do. But the rivalry in the South, of course, the Auburn fans are going crazy because of what Michigan State did last night, and Auburn should be playing for the national championship, I would think, against Florida State, which will put an SEC team in the national championship for 8 years in a row. And I don't think that would have happened had Ohio State not lost, because I think there's a backlash all over the country. People are tired of the SEC and tired of hearing about it and tired of hearing about SEC every week on ESPN and everything else.
So, Nick, are you a big NFL fan?
I do watch the NFL. I'm not as, we don't have an NFL team here, so it's kind of a little bit different. We don't get, got to get the media coverage from national syndicated stuff, because what we get here is really poor.
Well, can you do me a big favor? Can you hold on for me, and can you stay for another segment?
Sure, no problem.
All right, Nick, we'll be back to you. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your host, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. I'm on the phone with Nick Durzis, Chief of Police in Hoover, Alabama, old-time friend of mine, pretty much an expert since he's lived in Alabama for so long at sometimes the darker side of the Alabama-Auburn game. Matt's got a question for you, my producer, Nick. Go ahead, Matt.
I feel like I'm an expert, too, because I grew up in College Park, Maryland, and we have probably the second best rivalry compared to that would be Maryland-Duke basketball, and where they set the entire town on fire sometimes. I have to admit, I've never set anything on fire, but I've been there when things have been on fire. But I want to know, how do you prepare for that as like the chief of police? Chief of police, correct?
Correct. He's okay. Just outside of Birmingham, though, thank God. He's not in Tuscaloosa.
I have to know, do you have that one guy that you just keep your eye on every year? Do you have just that one guy that you're like, I know Joe's going to do something stupid. So just you set the rookie out. It's like, just keep an eye on that guy. And picks his pocket or something, just tackle him.
How about that? Do you, Nick? You got a guy like that?
Well, fortunately, I don't think we do. We've probably got a lot of those folks. We just don't know who they are.
Do you have a whole town of Joes? Is that what it is?
We've got some Joes, there's no question. We've got our city's about 90,000 people, and we're 8 miles south of Birmingham, and it's about 45 minutes to Tuscaloosa. So, you know, when the Iron Bowl is taking place in Tuscaloosa, obviously our hotels are filled. Of course, they played at Auburn last week, so it didn't really affect us as much, but because that's about an hour and 45-minute drive. But when the Iron Bowl's in Tuscaloosa, we get fans from all over the country that stay in all of our hotels here, and it's a party night. I mean, you're going to have people that are happy, people that are sad. You're going to have a few fights. Again, nothing too extreme of usually shooting each other, but there's always going to be somebody that does something stupid, no question about that.
What is the stupidest thing? We've talked about some kind of downer things, but what is the stupidest, kind of funniest thing you've ever seen in dealing with this rivalry?
We had, and this goes back several years, we had a husband, wife, and again, people in Alabama, they've got these license plates, house divided, because then it shows the Auburn and Alabama logo on the license plate. We had a few people over. Everybody, the game was over. Alabama had won. The husband was the Alabama fan. The wife was the Auburn fan. And this guy probably had $18,000-$20,000 invested in high and audio equipment, the big flat screen TV on the wall. And she literally, literally destroyed all of the audio equipment. Oh, everything came down. She had a hammer that she beat the television with. And
Was that in Hoover?
That was in Hoover. Yeah. And that goes back several years ago. Police get called. Then she went after the husband. She was actually arrested for domestic violence at the time. And again, of course, by the time court date came, they were back in love again. Oh, so she was never convicted of anything. But that's probably one of the funniest things when our guys got there to see. This guy was literally in tears with all of his equipment on the ground and destroyed.
Nick, let me ask you a question: Was there any alcohol involved in that dispute?
Absolutely.
and you're not going to believe this. You know how long I've been sober? 29 years.
That's fantastic.
You could only imagine what I was. I don't think you ever saw me inebriated, because I don't think, you know, when I was 16 years old that I was doing too much of that. But, well, right. Maybe you did. I don't know. And we're talking to Nick Durzes, police chief in Hoover, Alabama. One of the good guys. One of the guys that I'm glad. You know, I have friends that have served 30 years in the military. We're not getting any younger, are we, Nick?
Not at all.
But I have friends that have served in the military, and I have other friends that are policemen and do a number of things with Homeland Security, the FBI, whatever. And I got to tell you, man, I want to thank you for all you do, because, you know, you guys get a bad rap so often. I mean, you know, all it takes, it's just like anything else. All it takes, like you said last week, there were probably a lot of fights, but nobody pulled out a gun but this woman and shot anybody and killed them but her. And that gives the whole thing a bad name. Sometimes you get a bad name from just all this reporting going on, but 999,999 times out of a million, you guys do a phenomenal job, and I want to thank you for that. Do you ever get back to the D.C. area? Now, you used to be a hell of a Redskin fan, from what I remember.
I was back in those days, and then came south, and I enjoy the Carolina Panthers. Of course, Cam Newton's done a pretty good job there this season, at least.
Do you root for Cam? Now, he went to Auburn, and I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you this, Nick. And sure. I bet everybody knows the answer to this, right? Who do you root for, Alabama or Auburn?
I root for Alabama.
Yeah, and tell everybody why you can't be in the middle there.
Well, people laugh when they move here. I mean, you've got to make a decision. You're either going to be an Alabama fan or an Auburn fan. You can't be a fence rider. People don't accept that. You just got to root for one team, regardless of whatever reason it is. But, yeah, there's none of that stuff that I want Alabama to win, but I also want Auburn to win. I mean, that'll start a fight if you made that comment, number one.
Hey, let me ask you a question, Nick. What was your favorite year that you remember? What was your most favorite year of Alabama football?
Really, I would say the last. Well, I've been to all three national championship games, and I think probably beating LSU was probably the best because those fans, the Alabama and the LSU fans, really don't get along at all, and that was just a great ball game, and we knocked them out of the park at the Superdome, so that was a great game. But you know, we went to the Rose Bowl to see Texas and Alabama for the national championship. Texas fans were fantastic, no issues. And then, of course, last year, Notre Dame, which I've never been a fan of Notre Dame, and that was a great win too. So I would just say the national championship games the last couple of years have been great.
You know, the Nick Saban has done a great job in college football. This is a guy from Western Pennsylvania. You know, not that far from where you and I grew up. Right. And he has managed to get himself into just about every situation where he's done a phenomenal job everywhere he's been. I thought that the game last week that he maybe made more mistakes from a coaching standpoint than I've ever seen him make in a year in one game, especially at the end. Just take a knee. I don't understand. Does anybody understand why he left those big slow guys from the field goal team out there? It was almost like he put all of his eggs in one basket, as opposed to, I would have gone out there with my punt coverage unit. Do you understand what I'm saying? Why didn't the special teams coach recommend that? And will there be another special? You know who was his special teams coach 4 years ago? One of my best friends, Ron Middleton, who was a tight end at Auburn back with Bo Jackson, and now he's coaching with the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's an Auburn guy, and we were talking about that earlier today, and I'm going to have Ron on the show next week, and he's got a Redskins Super Bowl ring from when it was in Minnesota, you know, when they beat the Bills. Right. And Ron worked for Saban for a year, 1 year. You know, he was with David Cutcliffe for 5 years in Mississippi, and he was with Gruden for 3 or 4 years in Tampa Bay, and now he's with the Jacksonville Jaguars. But you know, he recruited all those offensive linemen that just got drafted in the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, a great crop. Yeah, it just didn't make any sense. Go 56, 57-yard field goal and having 280, 300-pound linemen there when, you know, if you miss the field goal, it's a live ball and the guy can run it back. Everybody just doesn't understand it. So I don't know if anybody's ever asked Coach, you know, the Alabama fans appreciate what he's done there, but I would say the team looked out of sync. There was nothing real positive about the ball game, to be honest with you. Auburn outplayed them. It looked like the players wanted it worse than the Alabama players did. So I'm not sure what the whole deal was about.
And Nick, I'm going to ask you one more question, and I'm going to let you go. And I got to thank you. We're on the phone with Nick Durzis, the police chief in Hoover, Alabama, who's just been a fantastic guest today. Nick, I'm going to ask you this. Is Auburn going to win the national championship, yes or no? Can they beat that Florida State team? I figure that Florida State team is at least a 3-point favorite in that game. What do you think?
Yeah, I would agree, and they may even be more than three. But I would say if anybody matches up, I don't know who can stop the Auburn offense right now. I mean, 500 yards of rushing offense yesterday. I mean, unbelievable against a Missouri team that – got 59 points scored against Missouri yesterday, and I think Missouri hadn't given up 40-something points in the last 4 or 5 games total. So I think it'll be a great matchup, and the great thing is, too, you know, the quarterback of Florida State, you know, he's a kid that actually played
He's from Alabama, right?
Yeah, he's 10 miles from Hoover. He actually, when he was a youth football player, actually played at Hoover, youth football when he was 10, 11, 12, 13 years old, and then his parents moved about 10 miles to Hueytown, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
That's where he went to high school. But it'll be a great matchup. And again, I will hope, because I'm an SEC guy, I will hope that Auburn beats him. And I think when you look at everything with Florida State's offense and Auburn's offense, there ought to be a lot of points put on the board.
All right. Now, I lied. I told you there was one more question. When you started talking about this young man who probably is going to win a Heisman Trophy, this past week, the Tallahassee Police Department decided not to press charges or indict this young man. Tell me your take on what happened there and why, even though the woman, you know, reported this a year ago almost, nothing really ever got done with it, or what you understand happened.
Yeah, and that, you know, I'm not sure how the state laws in Florida work. You're very unusual for why it took so long. That, you know, that's a question that I don't really understand either. And, of course, the district attorney, you know, the police department gets all the facts. They take it to the district attorney, and it's really the district attorney makes the decision to either go forward with something or not. And I'm going to make the assumption that he did not think there was enough enough evidence. Obviously, you know, there was no – you know, they've agreed – I think he has agreed, Winston's agreed, that, you know, there was consensual sex involved. So that's not the question. The question was she raped or not? And obviously the district attorney didn't feel comfortable enough that he had enough evidence to take it to court and to, you know, get a jury to find this guy guilty. So, you know, again, don't know enough about the case. Of course, you know, I'm going to make the assumption alcohol was involved in that deal also. And, you know, just, it's just a shame because it cast, certainly a negative light on that young man. And, of course, we don't know who the female is. And, you know, again, you know, we work cases like that all the time, and it's just a shame. Sometimes, you know, things have happened. Other times, they didn't happen the way people or victim would say it did. So, I'm going to assume that the police department did a good job investigating, gave the facts, and then again, the DA decided that wasn't enough there to that he didn't feel comfortable enough to take it to a court.
Well, either way, this. You know, it was unfortunate, and the bad thing about that, like you said, is it's still there's always going to be that negative thought there, and that's unfortunate. Sure. And the one thing that young kids can learn from this: don't put yourself in that situation. Especially with a couple of your buddies watching from the door. You know, I mean, that's not how you want to start a relationship with a young lady anyway. Hey, that's Nick, thanks so much for coming on, buddy. You are a great guest, and I'm going to give you a call when this show is over, and you're going to talk me through the sleet and snow to the ballpark. How about that?
Well, listen, appreciate the invite today, and wish you guys a great holiday season.
Thank you, Nick. Nick Durzis, Hoover, Alabama police chief, talking about everything. We'll be back in a minute on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. Sean Salisbury should be calling in any time. I'm hoping to have Sean on for two segments, and we're going to pick every game. And then I'm going to go – Roy's calling in at 11:45, and he's going to give you his picks. And I've also got somebody coming on at 11:30, Tony Mazur, who's going to give me – who's going to give me his sick picks. Picks.
What?
Pits. He's going to give us his pits. Hey, listen, last week we pushed. All three of us agreed on the Arizona Cardinals last week, and they pushed. They lost by three. They're getting three in Philly. But I got to tell you, the way that game, we were lucky to even cover or push because Philadelphia had the ball driving around the two-minute warning to score. And if it hadn't been for an inadvertent holding penalty to create a first down situation, they would have had to kick a field goal because they would have kicked a field goal to make them have to score a touchdown to tie or to beat them. And the fact that they got a first down, they got to run out the clock, and that saved everybody last week who followed our wonderful knowledge in handicapping expertise and took them. Now, if you got 3.5, which a lot of people did, you were a winner. And you were probably dancing around in front of the television set. But we're going to go over all kinds of stuff. I'm just hoping Sean gets with us soon. I tell you what I'm going to do, though. I'm going to start talking about the games now. And the reason...
Just get rid of the bad games now. So I'm going to guess first game, Redskins.
Pass. No, I'm just...
Exactly.
You know what? What I'm going to do, I started to talk about one. I'm going to go down here, and I'm going to go right down the list. If you go to Scores and Odds... Scores and Odds. I should start one of these. These are great. Scoresandodds.com. I should give everybody my lines. My lines are closer to the truth than Vegas lines anyway. At least that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. The Redskins are getting 3 points at home. They're playing the Kansas City Chiefs, who arguably are a much better football team than them. I would say the Washington Redskins in the muck, in the junk, which they'll be playing in on, by the way, turf that sucks. It's, you know, they put this turf down, Matt. You've seen it. They put this turf down, and it hasn't rooted, in my opinion, because you can see people are slipping. People are, big chunks are coming out of it. It's like putting turf down, you know, in your yard and not watering it or watering it too much. Today, it's not only going to get watered, Matt, it's going to get sleeted. It's going to get sleeted on. Yeah.
And they'll play hockey out there.
But generally speaking, when you have that situation, the worst team, it's an advantage for them. So this is really a toss-up. The Redskins, since they're at home, they can basically completely screw Kansas City. They can make it so that their headsets don't work. That's what Belichick, they used to do in New England from time to time. I was told, I'm just kidding, that's alleged. You got to read that book, Spygate, The Untold Story. But Kansas City is a better team. They're probably going to be able to play a little bit better defense. But they've got three starters out on the defensive side of the ball. And they've got Brandon Albert, their offensive tackle, out. They've got another offensive lineman who is out for the game. Washington basically is just a pissed off team right now. They don't care about anything.
Yeah, but they're pissed off at themselves.
Well, no, I think a lot of I think the majority of them, although they won't say it, are a little bit mad at a couple of things. They're mad at a situation that they can't change, which is the owner. That's the problem. You can't trade the owner. The owner made friends with Robert Griffin in the offseason. You know, probably got too close to him. He did the same thing with Clinton Portis a few years ago. Nobody could tell Clinton Portis what to do, and guess what?
When you told me that earlier, I was just like, oh, my God, that's right on the nose.
No, it is.
That's exactly what happened.
It is. And see, when you're an owner, you've got to separate yourself from your players. If you're not going to invite every single player on your team to go to your house to a party, you don't invite your quarterback. Okay, that you traded three first-round draft choices for and a second-round choice. You don't do that. You know why? Because it's wrong. And on top of being wrong, is that you?
That's not me.
It's probably me. And on top of being wrong, it's probably a lot more often stupid. Let me repeat this. It's going to be hard for people to believe, but that was stupid. Entirely a stupid thing to do. By, oh, what a surprise, you know, Daniel Snyder. The guy's an idiot, and there's nothing we're going to ever do. And I'm going to say this one time, and you can play it a billion times in a row. They will never be in a Super Bowl or even come close to winning a Super Bowl as long as that guy, that man, I saw the Patriot this week. Bench. I love that. That man... That's a great movie.
That one over there.
The Patriot is a great movie. That man, as long as that man is the owner of this team, they're done. They're done. He makes John Mara look good. Okay? And all you people in New York know I hate John Mara.
Let's get over that one.
All right.
I'm
going
to give you the other blowout.
Hey, I'm going to take Kansas City for four stars. Let's do the next one.
All right. Hold on.
Hit me up.
All right, can I give you the other blowout so we can just get past these games?
You can give me whatever you want, rookie. Go ahead.
Titans Broncos. We know that's gonna.
I've got Denver for five stars. We'll come back to that when Sean gets on. All right. We can do that.
I was just saying we can get past it because everybody knows how that one's going to end. There's some other good games, though, this week.
There's some great games, and we're going to get to one first. I just want to check on one thing right now. Here's what I don't like about that Redskin game. I've got tickets to it. Okay?
That's what every season ticket holder is saying right now.
And let me tell you what I really
hate. Here's what I hate. I just paid for this.
You know, it's unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Let's do another game. Go ahead. I'm going to say, you know, Baltimore is hosting a game today, and they've got the exact same weather that they're going to have in D.C. Mm-hmm. It's going to be sleet and snow and ice. And, you know, for the most part, I like Baltimore in this situation because for two reasons. Number one, they're much better at home than they are on the road. Always have been. You know, they fill that stadium up with fans. There'll be a lot more fans in Baltimore than there are in Washington today.
My guess is there's going to be a couple fans at the Redskins game.
That go to Baltimore.
That watching the Baltimore game on a portable TV or on a phone.
Or in the bar. You know, they'll be in the bar or they'll be in the club. You know, yeah. The nicest thing about the Redskins Stadium, FedEx Field, is they have a ton. I mean a ton. And this was done purposefully, but they have a ton of club seats. And when you've got that many club seats, you got a lot of bars and a lot of big screen TVs. And when the weather's nasty, guess what? You just go in there and order a drink, and it's like you're sitting in a bar. I'm gonna say the Ravens probably will cover this game, but 6.5 is too many points. This is more of a 4.5, 4-point game to me because the Ravens haven't proven that they can score at will on anybody. And I'm going to tell you, the one thing about this is, you know, normally your running game is big when it's muddy and wet. The Ravens don't have a running game.
What is the over on this?
The over under is 41.5. I don't even like that because there's a chance Adrian Peterson, he's actually questionable for this game. Mm-hmm. If Adrian Peterson doesn't get more than 25 carries, Minnesota's not going to be able to stay close. If Adrian Peterson doesn't play, they're not going to even be close. If he is out of this game, if you go online or go on Twitter and you say he is a scratch, then you need to play the Baltimore Ravens. Let's go to the next game. You got the Cleveland Browns at the New England Patriots. Cleveland, nobody knows who's going to start for them. They signed Caleb Haney and another quarterback this past week. Caleb Haney, if you remember, was the backup in Denver for a while. Caleb Haney is an average quarterback he actually had a couple of really good games with Denver a couple of years ago when there were some injuries there. You know, he's a big, tall, skinny, athletic kid. But I'm going to tell you right now, Caleb Haney going into New England in weather, by the way. In New England, Tom Brady loves that stuff. He lives for bad weather. You know, he played at the University of Michigan, which, by the way, they get bad weather up there, too, in the winter. And I just think in this game, that might be the play of the day. If you like exotics, all of you handicappers out there, they're only giving up 10 points to the Browns, who don't know who their quarterback is going to be. If you like exotics, you get that three-gamer, that three-team play at pick, okay? Take the New England Patriots for 4 stars and play them in an exotic even. I'm just saying. There's a chance the Cleveland Browns, you know, if Josh Gordon doesn't score 3 touchdowns, they're not going to be able to stay within 10 points. I don't see how on earth they're going to be able to do it. I don't. I just don't see it. For you fantasy players out there, I'm gonna be dropping you guys to start and not start probably between now and the end of the show. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back, and we're lucky enough to have Sean Salisbury on the line. Sean, thanks for calling in, buddy. This is kind of an opportunity where you and I can kind of go crazy here on some NFL games. Otherwise, it was great following you on Twitter. Tell everybody about your show on Yahoo. It's on Monday through Friday, correct? Sean, are you there?
He's there.
Hey, Sean.
Do we have to say everydamndown.com?
But anyway, Sean did call in. We put him on hold. Yeah. I guess we put him on hold too long. But Sean's got a Yahoo show. He's like 2-hour show every day on Yahoo Sports. And, in my opinion, he's one of the best NFL guys you can ever talk to. I'm just going to go to another game real quick since we're getting down there. The Cleveland Browns are at the New England Patriots. I already gave you the Patriots there. That could be a big-time gimme. Without question, take the Pats for sure in that game. The next game would be the Oakland Raiders at the New York Jets. This is a game where I don't like anything except the under. Two much better defensive teams and offensive teams. Geno Smith is having some incredible.
I think we got him back. Let's try.
Sean, you're on the air.
No, it's actually Tony Mazur here.
Ah, Tony.
Oh, that's...
I got the phone call.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Well, hey, Tony. What time we got, Matt?
It's 11:20.
Hey, Tony, can you do me a favor?
Sure.
Can you give us a call back at 11:30 like you were going to? Don't worry.
No,
you know what? You know what? Don't worry about it. Were you on the phone? Did you get cut off last too?
Yeah, it's okay.
Don't worry about it. We were supposed to. You told me 11:45. I'm just telling you. This is what happens in the business sometimes. That's when everybody wants to call your show. Tony, give me your play of the week right now. Let's go.
Well. I don't know.
We pushed last week.
Tony is probably really hungover from last night's game. You have to ask
him
about that.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's an absolute Buckeye hangover here in Ohio. I mean, it is. I mean, that after that game, you're looking at some of the spreads. Now, I'm looking at New England honestly because I'm here in Cleveland, but
right.
I look at that New England game and. I saw it was like I think is it 10? New England 10?
It's New England minus 10. I love that too. I got it for 5 stars.
You know, that's my pick of the week, and I gotta go New England because Cleveland they're demoralized right now. The Browns, though they have the young guys, they're completely demoralized on this team. They lost to Jacksonville. Jacksonville. Thanks. I mean, I know they've won a couple of games in a row, but my goodness, what is going on? So I just, when I saw that Jason Campbell, Bruce, gave the Browns, it savored them a little bit, and I think it bumped the spread down a point and a half.
That's scary in itself. Well, the guy, shoot, if somebody just talks to him too loud, he's going to have another concussion.
Well, It's either him, Caleb Haney, or you have Alex Canny, who's the guy who's throwing footballs into garbage cans from 30 feet away.
No, I hear you. Well, Caleb Haney, he was with the Broncos, right? And he played at three or four games a couple of years ago and did a pretty damn good job from what I remember. But he's definitely a backup. I mean, he's not a starting guy. Plus, it would take him, it's not like HUD's offense is – terribly easy. It's actually Norv Turner's. That would probably give anybody starting right away a headache. You see what I'm saying?
Well, Haney also backed up. Remember, he was in the NFC Championship game when Jay Cutler went down a couple of years ago. Didn't do a bad job, but yeah, again, he's a backup. Jason Campbell at this point in his career is a backup. Alex Haney is a backup. The Browns right now, and you're taking a look at some of these BCS games and what's on the docket? Who are they going after? Well, I mean, I guess the consensus now that Mariota's going back to college, the consensus number one pick for quarterbacks is still Teddy Bridgewater, and he hasn't looked that impressive. So that vaunted, we got to get a quarterback, just wait till 2014. Well, that class has looked pretty suspect, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I would say. I don't like Teddy Bridgewater. I'm sorry. I watched the kid play. He's okay. You know, I mean, to me, he looks like a backup. I mean, he's not as good as E.J. Manuel. And I think E.J. Manuel could be a good NFL quarterback, at least what I've seen from him. You know, I think this kid, you know, it's at Florida State now, possibly. He reminds me a little bit of Cam, only he doesn't run as good as Cam. But he reminds me of the type of athlete Cam is. You know, the kid, you know, as long as he stays out of rooms with women that, you know, don't get him in trouble, I think the kid's going to be okay. What he needs is a girlfriend, one girlfriend, and he needs to forget about whatever the hell he's doing because, you know, he's very, very lucky. I don't know if you heard the show, but we had the police chief of Hoover, Alabama on the show earlier, and, you know, he even made some comments about that, just basically saying that, you know, you never know who's telling the truth in those things, but kind of weird that the Tallahassee Police Department never really went and got the guy and brought him in for questioning. In a year.
That was a joke.
And I'll tell you what, if that's my daughter, I got a problem. You know, I got a real problem. And if that had been my daughter, obviously they'd have brought the guy in because I'd have went and got him and brought him in. You know what I mean?
It's an absolute joke down there.
I'm Bruce Hall, and, you know, I'm just telling the truth. You know, Emily, I love you, honey, but make sure you're careful with your selection of young men that you hang out with. I'm on the phone with Tony Mazur, who I love. Tony, are you going to take New England as your pick of the day? Is that the one you like?
Yeah.
Well, why don't let's break down another game then. Can we do that? Matt, give me some kind of – don't you love it when Matt does that with the thing? It almost makes me feel like I'm playing football again. The Carolina Panthers are playing the New Orleans Saints. I'm going to tell you, I love the Saints – until I saw them play last week. They look beat up a little bit to me. They don't look as good as I think they need to look coming off of a Monday night game, playing a Panther team that got an extra 3 days of rest. Do you hear what I'm saying?
You know, New England's a dome team. They're as you saw.
Oh, you mean
Seattle.
New Orleans, yeah. Yeah,
New Orleans, yeah. New Orleans is a dome team, and this is going to be the true test to see how good this Carolina team is. And I like this Carolina. They're the sexy pick of many experts before the season.
Right.
If they can go in there and beat them in the dome, then you might see that changing of the guard,
right,
so to speak, in the NFC South. If not, it really doesn't prove too much other than that New Orleans can't win on those big games on the road, but you know, they sure as hell can do that when they're at the Superdome down there.
You know, I had to leave the game alone only because I really like Carolina here. And the reason I like Carolina is they are doing everything right. They are going to make the playoffs. They could go deep into the playoffs. They're the one team, I believe, right now. Like, if you asked me, between those two teams, who do you think has the better chance of going to the Super Bowl? I wouldn't say the Saints. I'd say the Panthers. Just because they can beat. They could probably go into Seattle somehow and play pretty good with those guys. Let's face it, if Seattle gets healthy and if they continue to play the way they are playing right now and they have home field advantage in the NFC playoffs, they're going to the Super Bowl. I mean, they're just going to go.
That's with the Super Bowl being up in New York and their team that can play in the elements.
Absolutely. And, you know, if New Orleans somehow makes it to the Super Bowl, you're not going to like them in New York, are you?
No. Oh, no. Not at all. I mean, if we're talking dome team and you're playing in possible 25-degree weather up there or below in New York, I'm favoring the team. I'm favoring a Denver. I'm favoring a Seattle. I'm favoring a northern team that's going to be playing in this game.
Hey, let me ask you this, Tony. Let's go to this game real quick. Let's go to the Tennessee Titans and the Tennessee Titans and the Denver Broncos. Who's going to win that game? Obviously Denver. But do you think Tennessee, they should have won last week? I don't know if you saw that game. They had every opportunity in the world to win last week, and they didn't do it. I feel like Peyton Manning is going to try to do something this week, and he's going to prove to everybody that he can play in the cold. They're giving 13.5 now. It's gone from 11.5 to 13.5 today. You know what that means? That means that's all west of the Mississippi money. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get you. And, you know, I think you're going to see, because I believe if they clinch their playoff if they beat Tennessee today, which, I mean, they're going to clinch at some point.
Right.
This is the earliest they're able to do it. And I think with that chip on their shoulder, you're gonna see it today. Tennessee just doesn't look that strong. Ryan Fitzpatrick's just a backup. As we talked about, there's a backup quarterback. There's a problem with quarterbacks in the league. And if you're struggling to get by and you have Ryan Fitzpatrick as your quarterback, I just don't see it. I think Tennessee's a decent team. They just have no quarterback. And, Jake, I'm not sold on Jake Locker long term. Obviously not sold on Fitzpatrick. It's just it's kind of a mess. And I like that team. It's just not good enough. And Denver is – I mean, they're out of this world right now.
Yeah, I think they are too. And I'll be honest with you, that is a good pick. Tony, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate – you know, anytime you call, if we can get you on, we want you on. Okay?
Well, thanks, guys.
Tony Mazur, everybody, from Cleveland, Ohio. Tony, we'll talk to you next week. This is Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute or two with more Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. I tell you what, you know, it's really strange because I know we're getting weather, but I can't see it. But I'm getting nervous about it. You know, anytime, you know.
Ooh, I see some white out
listen,
on the stairs.
Listen.
You can look out right through that window. You see some white
yeah,
on the stairs?
Oh, my God.
Uh-oh.
I'm in trouble.
You are not staying here, man. You're walking to a
I'm not going
to
stay here. I'll get sick here. Hey, listen, you know, the thing about bad weather with any kind of football game is it's fun to play in. And I'm going to tell you why. I was never blessed with 4.5, 4.4. Even hardly ever 4.6 speed. I remember I ran a 4.65 on the pads, 30 yards, touch one pad, you know, starting, running to the next pad, hitting it with your tennis shoe or whatever the heck you were wearing. But that was during wrestling season when I only weighed about 165, 170 pounds. When I played football, I probably ran a 4.8. But I ran it with pads on, I ran it without it. But when you're in the muck, in the elements, you can't really put moves on people.
This is
you kind of come at them, and it's like, I just run full speed right through your face mask, and you're down.
This is the fun time for the big guys on the field.
Yes, like, it yeah, is.
They're tired of being jetted by all the smaller, faster guys. Now it's time. It's like, oh, yeah, this is why I've been working out so much lately. It's so I can hurt you.
I got to tell you, it's a fun time to play. And that's when that little kid in you comes out. Now, not so much for guys like Robert Griffin III who need speed. Although this year you would think that the wet would do him some good as opposed to harm. I just got a bad feeling about today with the health of the Redskin quarterback. If he starts and plays, you know, because there's been a lot of talk. All they're doing in Washington, the media now is sniping at him. Not everybody, but most of them.
Even you.
Because that's what the – no, I don't just snipe at him. I tell him I just don't like the way he's acting. I don't like him not saying certain things. You're going to find this hard to believe because you know me. Mm-hmm. I'm not a Shanahan fan. I've never been a Shanahan fan. But I think they should keep him two more years because they lost $36 million under the cap, okay? They couldn't spend $36 million for players for the last 2 years thanks to them cheating, you know, with the salary cap issue three years ago.
The invisible rule.
Yeah, the invisible rule that they weren't allowed to sue anybody over because if they sued somebody, the Players Association would have had discovery, which Steph Stradley pointed out to us.
That was a very eye-opening moment.
Wasn't that a really good – listen, Steph and I go back. Steph Stradley, that's Steph Stradley. She's unbelievable. She's a lawyer, but she's more than that. She's a big-time football fan, and she really likes Houston Texans football. And she, you know, I mean, we went through that. You know, when they fired Gary Kubiak this year, and there's a lot of talk now, like, well, maybe the Shanahans will just go to Houston. They might as well, because the owner sucks, Bob McNair, and his GM, Rick Smith, is horrible. So, I mean, they're just going to have the same situation they had here. They'll be great at it. You know, yeah. Plus, when Kyle left there, they were the number one offense in the NFL. Now, you can say what you want about Mike Shanahan, but don't say Kyle hasn't gotten results where he's gone.
The offense hasn't been a problem with the Redskins lately.
Well, they don't have a defense. They don't have a defense because they don't have a general manager. They don't have a plan. They don't. And you know, everybody's blaming Jim Haslett. Come on, man. London Fletcher is an old man. I love London Fletcher. He was great up until last year. As soon as he got concussion problems last year and got slowed down with a knee or an ankle or something that happened to him, he was done. And you know what? He's never come back from that.
But do you know a name you never hear in games anymore is Arakpo? You never hear
his
name.
Well, no, last week he got 2.5 sacks. Brian Arakpo's got like 8.5 sacks. He is actually probably going to make the Pro Bowl. He's the only guy that's probably going to make the Pro Bowl. There isn't going to be any...
Somehow Dante Hall will make it, though.
Well, you know, Ryan Kerrigan hasn't done anything either. You know, we're talking about the Redskins. You know what? Let's do this. Let's talk about the daggone Jets. Okay, let's do this. Go. Nobody's calling in. Oh, that's too bad. I lost. I hate it not having Sean call in. The Cleveland Browns and the Patriots, we've already gone over. The Raiders and the Jets. I want to take Geno Smith and the Jets here. I want to take Rex Ryan. You know why I can't? Because Oakland seems to play better when they go into somebody else's house. Oakland has got a kid playing quarterback, former Penn State quarterback's doing a great job offensively with them. You know, McFadden came back, got a couple of the problem with Oakland is they got next to nothing. You know what? I'm taking the Jets for 4 stars out of the blue. Just take them. I'm going to tell you. I just talked myself into it. Let's go to the next game.
All right, man. I have to say the Raiders are one of those chaos teams. They can either beat your butt on any field, or they can get 7 touchdowns thrown on them.
2 underachieving teams here, but the Raiders are definitely the underdog here. The Jets are 3-point favorites. Take the Jets. Give the 3. Geno lives another day. Go.
All right, football hit. Boom. Oh.
Indianapolis Colts at the Bengals. I started to talk about this an hour ago.
Are we going to talk about world football with it now?
Yeah, and I got into the Cincinnati Bengals and Boomer Esiason, but that's when I met him because he did an interview with ABC, and we went out to dinner and had fun and all that stuff. Cincinnati Bengals are 7-point favorites over the Colts.
Really?
The Indianapolis Colts, their offensive line is banged up. Their defense is terrible. The Bengals are playing at home where they've been unbeatable this year. I'm taking the Bengals for 4 stars, and I don't even have to explain why. They are just better than I ever thought they'd be, and this is a tribute to Marvin Lewis, in my opinion. Marvin Lewis has done a phenomenal job with these guys. Marvin Lewis is what he is what we thought he was. He's a pretty good coach. Let's go to the next game. The Panthers and the Saints, we've already talked about. I am not taking either team, although this is going to be one I will tape and watch. I love the fact that the Saints are back indoors. But Carolina, you gotta think they are going to be so amped up and physical for this game, and the Saints are going to be a little tired. Watch the game. If you held a gun to my head, I'd have to take the New Orleans Saints. But I don't want.
This is one of 3 games that you have to watch this.
Well, you gotta see what happens because both of these teams will probably make the playoffs. They really will, and you gotta watch it. Let's go to the next game. I Dan Miller. I sent him a tweet earlier. Dan is the big Fox Sports guy up in Detroit. Used to be in D.C. The Eagles are 1.5-point favorites. That's down from 2.5. The Lions probably have the better team, but you know what? They're definitely not the better coach team. The better coach team is the Philadelphia Eagles. And I'm going to tell you what. The Philadelphia Eagles have quietly put a coaching staff together that's unbelievable. Their defensive coordinator has been around. He's done a great job. I really, really like Kelly. I really like what he said in his press conference this week. Like, some reporter asked him the stupidest question you'll ever hear in your life. Hey, do you ever put bad plays together and then do a good play so they're not looking for it? He goes, I mean, it's the stupidest question you've ever that anybody's ever asked anybody.
I'm sure there's.
And the way he handled it was pretty classy. Without calling the guy an idiot, he basically just he said, oh, yeah, yeah, and write that. Next time I run four lousy plays in a row, go, he was setting them up. So, no, they don't. And I'm going to tell you something. And by the way, as we speak, the line has moved back to two. You know what that means? Several million dollars were just bet on the Philadelphia Eagles in Vegas. I like the Eagles, and I'm going to tell you why. Kelly at home. Mm-hmm. The Eagles have won two in a row at home. Remember, they couldn't win at home at first. Now they've won two in a row, and they play a Lions team, which is an indoor team, in the muck. Philadelphia is like, you know, 2 hours from here. It's sleeting there, too. Yeah. Take the Eagles if you're going to play the game. If you're not going to play, whatever you do, don't take the over. Because
what's the over?
53.5. That's a lot. But you can't take the under with these teams.
You can take the over, though.
Yeah, but wow. I wouldn't take the under in the muck. Not in this stuff, because it could go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth with no scoring. Just leave everything alone. Watch this game. This is another great game. The Eagles right now, in my opinion, are going to win the NFC East. The Cowboys are the Cowboys. Listen to me, Matt. I'm trying to teach you. You know what? You're better off being who you are than Roy. Than Roy sometimes, because I can mold your mind here.
Now, every time we've talked about the Cowboys, though, you've always said, "Oh, the Cowboys will be the Cowboys," and
I've terrible.
Always said they've been. They are a better team than what they play on the field.
Cherry
and
Jones.
Last time we did.
Oh,
that.
Oh yeah, no, they are,
and they've won every time I've said that, and they're
well,
playing
say
the Cowboys.
It, yeah, but no, but
the Bears this week.
I know, but I'm talking about the Eagles and the Lions.
Yeah, I'm just saying
the Eagles are better than the Cowboys. The Eagles should win the NFC East, although the Cowboys have an easier schedule. They really do. Let's go to the next game. I'm passing on that game. Miami and Pittsburgh. I'm taking Pittsburgh. You know why? 70-degree rule. It's usually 70, 80 degrees in Miami. It's sleeting, snowing, and icing in Pittsburgh. Take the Steelers at home in the junk. -3. I haven't had the Steelers all year. I haven't taken them one time. I'm taking them today. Take the Steelers against the Dolphins. Dolphins, by the way, are the most consistent team in the NFL. I broke down all the teams. Consistently, they have played about how you expect them to every week.
I haven't seen a Miami game. How does Miami's defensive front look?
They're decent. Their front seven are
decent. As long as they're not horrible.
No, they're not. No, not only are they not horrible, they're pretty good. And they got a halfway decent pass rush. And they have good corners. I mean, they can play. The Steelers, I think today's their day. Because to me, the Steelers, this is their weather, man. This is their weather. And plus, Roethlisberger, you can't tackle him anyway. In the mud, you really can't tackle him.
You can hit the hell out of him.
No, yeah, but
and in the cold, it hurts a lot.
Yeah,
more.
But he don't feel nothing. He weighs like 260 pounds.
He's got to this year, though, man.
Nah, he's fine.
There's only so much
that
body can
take. Let me read you the weather report. You ready?
Yeah.
Chance light snow. Kickoff temperature 29, wind chill 21, snow may be mixed with sleet or freezing rain. That's just what it's doing here. I'm taking the Steelers. Let's go to the next game. The Bills and the Buccaneers. The Bills and the Buccaneers. The Bills and the Buccaneers. I got a pass. I'm going to tell you why. Both teams extremely underrated. The Bills are not bad, by the way. I got them rated as an okay team with no minuses. Tampa Bay, I've got them rated as an okay team also, but both teams' records would lead you to believe like they're not very good. Guess what? They're both a lot better than the Washington Redskins. Wow, yeah. I would leave this game alone because Buffalo, in my opinion, is not – if they were getting 3.5, I'd take Buffalo. But otherwise, no. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. In a few minutes, we'll be back. Actually, in 1 minute. We'll be back on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We are back And
we actually have some good games to pick now.
But there's some great games out here. You know what's wild is when you go to scoresandodds.com, and by the way, that's a great place to look for you know, Vegas odds and stuff. If you're interested in ever playing these games in Vegas or, you know, or offshore, whatever you do. I'm sitting here looking. We didn't talk about the Rams and the Cardinals yet. Let's talk about them because we had the Cardinals. Well, we had Jess Root last week, and Jess Root, who's a beat writer and a blogger, and great reporter out of Phoenix, Arizona, and a friend of mine. I'm happy to say, he picked the card. You know, he loved the cards. He gave us the breakdown last week. I loved the cards. Tony loved the cards. Roy loved the cards. The cards pushed. But
I think
but,
it really pushed you into the cards, though.
It didn't matter. The Rams, I picked the Rams. By the way, the Redskins are making the Rams very happy because the Redskins traded them future draft choices for Robert
so
Griffin
right
III.
Yes.
And they're so happy because the way the Redskins are playing right now, the Rams are going to get like the second or third pick. So I'm excited for the St. Louis Rams and Jeff Fisher. And I'm not excited enough to take them today, but 4.5 is too many points. Those two teams play really tough together when they play each other. I'm going to leave that game alone. Can you get us another game, please, Matthew? New York Giants and the Chargers. Let's talk about the Big Blue. I'd love to see Eli pull this one off. Do I think anything is going to happen here?
No.
Now, you know, some people made the trip. A lot of people didn't think we're going to make the trip. The Chargers need a win desperately. They needed to win last week and didn't. The Chargers have given games away. Technically, they're still in it. And they're in the West, Western Division of the AFC, which is a pretty damn strong division. I don't see them making the playoffs, but I don't see them giving up. And this is a little bit of a grudge match because if you remember, Eli Manning got drafted several years ago by the San Diego Chargers. And then, and Mr. Manning, you know, the head man, Mr. Manning, his dad, basically said, well, my son ain't going to play, you know, for no damn San Diego Chargers. I don't know if it was because Smith was the GM, who's now assistant GM and has a position with Daniel Snyder's team, even though nobody lets him do anything, A.J. Smith. I just think that there's a little grudge match here. New York has never beaten San Diego since that. They're 0-3 against them. I see them being 0-4 here. I like the Chargers -4 in this game against the Giants, only for 3 or 4 stars, but I like them because they're a better football team, and they have more weapons right now.
Where are they playing?
They're playing in San Diego.
Okay.
And that's why, because, you know, they don't have to make the cross-country trip or any of that. Plus, Eli just isn't playing that well still. You know, look who they beat last week. The Redskins, barely. Let me repeat that.
Yeah, very barely.
Let me repeat that. They barely beat the Washington Redskins. Take the Chargers for 3 stars -4. Next game. Maybe the best game of the day. Definitely. I mean, you got San Francisco. Everybody saw what Seattle did Monday night. They just destroyed a team. Just
a good
beat
team too.
Well, a good team, but not such a great team on the road. What everybody seems to be finding out in the end, they're very similar to the Patriots back when the Patriots were cheating. Now, I'm not saying that Seattle's cheating. They're probably not. But is it cheating when you like pipe in your own noise to decibel levels that are ear shattering? You know, is that fair? There's got to be some decibel level stuff going on with the NFL in you know, as far as rules and regulations, whatever. But what they do there is they do use the 12th man. The 12th man, they're very proud. There's a lot of kids in that stadium. It's kind of a partly covered outdoor field, so you don't get drenched there, but you get just wet enough to kind of get mad enough to scream hard and stay warm.
It's not a bad day.
Yeah, and you know what? Forget about that. Russell Wilson, 3rd-round draft choice. How good is this kid? They better sign him to an extension soon just to keep the kid happy. Now, I guarantee you that'll happen next year. He'll get that in-between contract, you know, for like 4, 5, 6 years. And then probably 2, 3 years later when he's been to 2 Pro Bowls and they've gone to the Super Bowl once, maybe twice. I don't see this defense going anywhere. Seattle, They can play, let me tell you. And, you know, the guy that's in Jacksonville that's won four out of his last five games is their defensive coordinator. Jacksonville's getting better. Guess what? Seattle's getting better, too. And they've got three guys out, two guys on drugs. You know, one guy's a controlled substance problem. He's done for the rest of the year, from what I understand. Browner, I think it's Browner. And the other guy is out because he's taken something he's not supposed to be taking. They got a couple of injuries, but they're getting, they're starting to even get guys back. The other night against a New Orleans team that, let's face it, is a pretty damn good football team, they had seventh and sixth round draft choices in there on defense, making tackles and making plays. They're faster than anybody else in the league. San Francisco's at home. They're minus two. They have to win this game. But I'm going to tell you what, if you look at their four losses, they lost to four teams that are better than them. Guess what? Seattle's better than them. They could lose this one. I am not playing this game. If you play this game, take San Francisco, because that is the NFL best story.
Arguably, we've talked about the Panthers-Saints game, and now we're talking about...
They're very similar games.
Seahawks-49ers.
Absolutely.
Do you think, arguably, we're looking at the second round of the playoffs right here this week?
I think we're looking at four of the best teams in the NFL, no doubt. Without a doubt.
At least in the NFC.
Look at the next game on Monday night. Look at the next game on Monday night that we're going to look at right after this. Well, it's not actually right after this. Let's go to that game right now. That's a 1 o'clock game, and it's snowing on the frozen tundra in Green Bay right now. The Atlanta Falcons are playing the Green Bay Packers. Now, most everybody this time of the season would have thought this is one of the biggest games of the year. They both suck. They suck. How many has Atlanta won? Two? Three? They're horrible. Green Bay's 5-6-1. If Green Bay loses this game, they're basically out. If Chicago, you know, wins and Detroit win, Green Bay is looking at three games left with virtually a 5-7-1 record. They're not going to bring Aaron Rodgers back. I saw him warm up. I watched film of him. He was holding his left arm almost by his side when he passed. Leave the guy on the bench. Let him heal so you've got the number one. He is – who do you want, Peyton Manning or Aaron Rodgers? Give me Aaron Rodgers. Who do you want, Peyton Manning or Aaron Rodgers? I want Aaron Rodgers. He's the better quarterback because he's younger, he's more athletic, and he's got a better arm, and he makes the same throws. What has he got – what does Peyton have that he doesn't have? He doesn't have the experience that Peyton does. But he's got a lot of experience, and he's got some receivers he can deal with up there. I'm telling you right now, Seattle-San Francisco, the winner of that game is going to make the playoffs. If Seattle loses, they're still in. If San Francisco loses, Matt, they're 8-5. They may not make the playoffs because they've got to play the Rams again, who handle them.
If the season ended today, right now, division leaders, Seahawks, Saints, Lions, Cowboys, wild cards are Panthers, 49ers. We literally could be looking at, it would be Panthers versus Lions, 49ers versus Cowboys.
And the wild cards are better teams than the division winners.
Exactly.
And you know what? That's going to happen, too.
So we are definitely more likely looking at the second round of the playoffs this week.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's a great thing.
And we're in week 14, which is perfect because look, it's December. It's not Christmas, but during Christmas week, I mean, we're into the playoffs by then. You know, when we get past Christmas, I want to say the 28th is probably, you know, the first week of the playoffs, something like that, right around the 1st of January. And Super Bowl is second weekend in February.
No, week 17 goes through the 29th.
Okay, so when we get into January, we're into the playoff round of the wild card, which is going to be great. And then, you know, and by the way, we're coming to New York. You know, I'm trying to get Matt to come, but Roy and I'll be in New York for sure for two or three days at least once, and I'll be up there for the Super Bowl. And we're going to be doing the show out of WFAS 12:30 a.m. right there in the heart of Westchester County, and I love it up there, especially visiting, because it's kind of like, everything's so hilly. It's almost like you're in a different place than you really are. I mean, you're a half hour from downtown Manhattan, you know, basically 40 minutes. Well, if you drive the way I am, you probably going down those expressways, probably 25 minutes from it. Definitely getting to Yankee Stadium, you're not far. But the thing of it is that, to me, it's very exciting and a lot of fun to go up there. I think today, let's just talk a little bit about the New York teams. The Giants are probably in a hurry just to kind of get the season over with, but play hard. The Jets, they got to be thinking that they're playing for their jobs right now. Wouldn't you agree? Especially on the offensive side of the ball, because they can't do it. They're not going to do anything with Geno Smith. I mean, Geno Smith is got to start the rest of the season. They need to let him learn on the field. Like they start. Look, they beat the the Patriots at home.
Every year, though, with the Jets, we talk about the coaching. They beat the Saints. Coaching jobs.
Didn't they beat the Saints? Yes. I mean, they beat two really good teams at home.
Yeah.
But then they've looked terrible. Several times. That's what happens when you have a rookie quarterback. You're either going to be very good or very bad. At least it's not Mark Sanchez, where you're pretty much butt tackle every game.
He will never live that down. Will he?
That's a butt tackle.
If he could make it into the Hall of Fame, and that will be on his statue.
Well, I think it should be, and don't you think it should be though? I mean, I think it should.
I'm going to ask him.
Yeah. Anyway, you know, let's talk a little bit about the game tomorrow night.
So, what do
you want to know?
The coaching staff for both teams.
Right.
Who will still be there next year for Jets and Giants?
I think they're both going to be there.
Really?
Rex isn't going anywhere.
Because you talked about
he was going to fire Rex, he'd have fired him last year.
Yeah.
Because he could have picked up. Look at the new guys that got jobs. I mean, they could add any one of those guys. They could add Arians in New York. Hey, he kept Rex. Why? He's got pictures of him with farm animals. No, I'm just kidding. Woody, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Rex is the freak. He's the foot guy. Hey, look, and there's nothing wrong with that, Rex. Seriously. Like feet too, buddy.
Has his wife changed the jersey?
I don't want to talk about Rex's wife. That's off limits. Let's do this. Let's go to Cowboys Bears right now. That's very important to me. Roy loves the Bears. You know, I don't love the Bears. I honestly think they should have never fired Lovie Smith. I thought firing Lovie Smith was stupid.
Yeah.
I really do. Do we have 30 seconds left in the show?
And they were 12-4 that season, right?
Listen to me. I don't care what the weather's like tomorrow night. Take the Bears in the over. And listen, when you go out in that weather today, drive safe, people. This is Bruce Hall signing off for Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.